night and dream that the world would turn around. All our hopes have come to be, and people gather around. They offer all what they can bring, and nobody went with that. Other than a song sing, the revolution starts now.
Good afternoon, Richmond. Welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio, because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. We hope you'll stay tuned to hear what a difference that makes in bringing you the news. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm here every Tuesday introducing you to people who are passionately involved in the issues and causes that directly affect you and your family. We have a really important show for you today. Ringling Brothers Circus is coming to town, and we're going to be talking about that. Before we jump into that conversation with Amy Bergman from Richmond Friends for Animals, I want to give you a couple of event announcements. If you are driving in your car and can't write all this stuff down, not to worry. Tim, our engineer, will have this up on our blogspot, indiemedialive.blogspot.com, right after the show. We'll have this and all the other great information that you're going to be hearing today logged there. You can also listen to this show again tomorrow. WRIR.org streams this show live recorded on Wednesdays, 2:30 until 3 o'clock. So you can listen to the show there again. I want to tell you that on Thursday night, April the 14th, this coming Thursday night at 7 p.m., the Richmond Peace Education Center, Bonaire Presbyterian Church Peace Study Action Group, Midlothian Friends Meeting Peace and Social Action Committee, Pax Christi, the Richmond Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality, the Richmond Friends Meeting, Richmond Mennonite Fellowship, and the Wayside Center are sponsoring Kathy Kelly. She's going to be doing a program called Eyewitness to War. She reports back from Afghanistan. The 10-year-long war in Afghanistan has replaced Vietnam as America's longest war. More than 40 Virginians have been killed in the conflict, and countless Afghan lives have been lost. The Richmond community is going to have a rare opportunity to hear firsthand from a lifelong peace activist who's working closely with Afghan civilians in search of non-military solutions. Kathy Kelly is co-director of Voices for Creative Nonviolence. That website is vcnv.org, a campaign to end U.S. military and economic warfare. She traveled to Afghanistan 3 times in 2010 with small delegations. I think she's actually on her way back as we speak now from yet another trip to Afghanistan, and she's going to be here with us on Thursday night. That's going to be held at the 5th Baptist Church, 1415 West Carey Street, near VCU. If you'd like more information about this event or any of the other events sponsored by the Richmond Peace Education Center, you can go to their website, rpec.org, or give them a call, 232-1002. This event is free and open to the public, and parking is also free. Saturday and Sunday, this weekend, the Church of the Holy Comforter, which is located at the southeast corner of Monument Avenue and Staples Mills Road, is going to be having a presentation and an adult forum entitled Jesus on Trial in Virginia, Sentencing Christ to Death. This is happening Saturday night, April the 16th, from 7:30 until 9 p.m. An audience will witness the sentencing phase of the trial of Jesus and serve as the jury. Two attorneys, Mark Osler and Gene Bishop, will present their cases before Judge Willem Broaddus, and there will be witnesses drawn from the Gospels. This program concludes with an audience question and answer session and draws from Mr. Osler's book, Jesus on Death Row. Then on Sunday, after the Palm Sunday service, Mark Osler and Gene Bishop will again lead an adult adult forum for those who are interested in continuing the conversation. Mark Osler is professor of law at the University of St. Thomas Law School in Minnesota. He's a former federal prosecutor and a graduate of William & Mary and Yale Law School. Jean Bishop is a board member of Murder Victims Families for Human Rights. She is the sister of Nancy Bishop Langert, who was shot to death along with her husband and their unborn child in 1990. She's a graduate of Northwestern University School of Law, where she now teaches, and she serves as assistant public defender in the office of the Cook County Public Defender in Chicago. I actually had the opportunity once to participate in one of these sessions where the audience is the jury condemning Jesus to death, and it's an incredibly powerful experience. It was for me. So we have that opportunity here in Richmond this weekend at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Comforter. If you'd like to find out more about this event, 355-3251. My guest today is Amy Bergman, and it's so nice to have her back again. Amy is a member of the animal advocacy group Richmond Friends of Animals. Members of this group can choose to participate in a variety of local and national animal advocacy issues. We've talked about several of those here on this show, including Fur Free Fridays. And Amy is the proud guardian of 3 rescue dogs and 2 rescue gerbils and 1 rescue horse. I'm grateful to you for being here.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. And you're taking time away from all the animals to come out here and talk on behalf of more animals. I'm really grateful to you, Amy.
Yes, excellent. Well, today what we're here to talk about is the fact that the Ringling Circus is coming to Richmond, and for the animals, this isn't as much fun as maybe it seems. So we would just want to talk about some of the issues today, from training methods to the lifestyle that the animals lead, those who are involved in the circus, and some of the care and treatment of the animals, and maybe ways to help.
I just want to say that listeners may not want children to hear the show today. Hopefully, by the time they are old enough to hear some of the stuff we're going to be talking about, we will no longer have animals in the circus. You know, WRIR is committed to putting the news and the views and the music on the air that get very little, if any, attention in mainstream media. I am so fortunate today to have this opportunity to discuss this topic that many of us have never thought about or know very little about. So it's just an honor to be a voice for these precious enslaved animals in the circus. And so, Amy, let's jump right in. Like you said, there's so much to talk about. When is the what is Richmond Friends of Animals response to Ringling's dates here?
Okay. Well, although the issue of the treatment of animals under the Big Top has gained a lot of attention in recent years, we at Richmond Friends of Animals just want to draw even more attention to the fact that the animals are still living in confinement. They're dealing with constant travel and training to do these tricks for the circus that many feel go against their nature. So Richmond Friends of Animals, we're going to have some educational events. We don't necessarily consider them protests so much as a chance and an opportunity to educate the public about the circus, because I think a lot of people just simply are not aware of the life that the animals lead. They think that they're doing something that's wonderful for their family to go to the circus. They're trying to do something great for their kids, and we respect that. But unfortunately for the animals, the circus is not all fun. It's sort of not quite what it appears anyway.
With all of the issues that we discuss here on Indie Media Live, and as you say, that are discussed more and more widely around the world these days, of animal exploitation, animals in the circus seems to me to be most gratuitous. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, we do honor what the parents are trying to do for their kids and do for their families. But all of that is possible without the torture and enslavement of these animals. Circuses with acrobats and clowns and trapeze artists would be just as exciting for the kids, I'm sure.
Absolutely. There are plenty of animal-free circuses available, and we certainly would encourage people to go to those instead. Cirque du Soleil, the New Pickle Family Circus, Cirque Eloise, et cetera, they're people-only circuses, and they're certainly a great time for the family as well, since they can choose that lifestyle, the jugglers and the clowns and the tightrope walkers. That's a better choice if you want to take your family to a circus than to go to a circus with animals who have no choice in that lifestyle. So,
So when are these educational events mm-hmm. going to be taking place?
Sure. So the first one is Wednesday, April 20th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And that's the most important because it's opening night. And so usually the media is there. And so that's your best chance of actually being able to draw media attention to the fact that not everybody is happy about the circus coming to town. Richmond Friends of Animals will be there. I'm pretty sure that other groups will be there as well. We specifically will be meeting on the public sidewalk in front of the parking garage across from the Coliseum. That's on the 7th Street side. And you're welcome to join us there if you're interested. We have signs available, and if you would like to come, you can RSVP to richmondfriendsofanimals@gmail.com, and you can learn more about that event date and the other educational events at our website. That's richmondfriendsofanimals.org, and there's a Facebook page link there as well.
And we'll have all of that up on our blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com, shortly after the show today. And I think you have several other...
We do. There's another show on Thursday, April 21st, again from 6 to 7:30. Another one on Friday, April 22nd, 6 to 7:30. And then on Saturday, that's a big day, there are three shows. So there's one from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., another from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., and a final one, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., and the final show is on Sunday, April 24th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. And the way that we set those up is that we try to be out there as people are arriving, and then we stay until a half an hour after the show has started to catch any stragglers. And essentially, since a lot of people have already bought tickets, we're not necessarily thinking that, you know, anyone's going to turn away because they have already bought their tickets. But what we're hoping is that we plant a seed in their head so that they think about the treatment of animals as they go in. They can watch and kind of see for themselves. And we'll be handing out some educational leaflets. And those have kind of more of the behind the scenes view that the public isn't shown. Because, of course, you know, during the actual show, all looks great. You know, it's lots of glitz and you know, bright lights, and everything seems fun and happy. But unfortunately, the reality, certainly behind the scenes, is not quite as glitzy.
Just the idea of the noise and the lights, I can't imagine how that is such a stress and a strain on wild animals.
Absolutely. In my bio, you saw that I have a rescue horse, and I can tell you, even for a domesticated, you know, horses have been domesticated for many years, and even then, you know, any little noise can spook a horse, and certainly a wild animal, whether they're wild caught, which isn't quite as common anymore. Now a lot of animals used in circuses are actually raised. They're bred and raised for life in the circus or zoos. But even still, it's their nature to be wary of bright lights and noises and things that are really against their natural habitat.
If you've just tuned in, it's 14 minutes before the hour. This is Indie Media Live on WRIR. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm talking with Amy Bergman, a member of the animal advocacy group Richmond Friends of Animals. We are talking today about the lives and the treatment of the enslaved animals who are part of the circus. And Amy, these feats that these animals perform in the three rings are surprising to us because they are so unnatural for these animals. How are these animals taught to do these tricks? What do we know about the training methods of ringling particularly?
Sure. In most cases, the training is, we've seen videos and photographs of it. So we know that they are using things, for example, with baby elephants, for example, they will take them from their mothers and use ropes and sort of physical force to put them into the poses because, you know, there's no way for them to know that if they're going to, you know, stand on a box and raise their legs up or something. I mean, it's so unnatural that they don't have the opportunity to do it naturally and then be rewarded for it. So the usual kind of reward training techniques that are often used with more domesticated animals like dogs and horses, those don't really work in this case because the animal's probably never going to exhibit that kind of behavior to then be rewarded for it, to learn that that's something that, you know, that they should be doing on command. So instead, they have to be sort of pushed and forced and pulled into these positions, you know, rear up or, you know, stand on your head or, you know, these are not natural behaviors for these animals. I mean, certainly if you've seen, videos from the circus and you're seeing bears riding bicycles and this sort of thing, I mean, that's never going to happen in a million years in the wild. So these are often trained to the animals by force, so rather than a positive reinforcement method.
The thought of taking a baby elephant away from its mom, is that something that is routine in the circus world?
Absolutely. Because elephants are such large animals, they really have to be trained to do this at a smaller, more manageable size. So they're definitely taken from their mothers at a young age so that they can be trained to do these things. So, and as they get larger, their natural behavior wants to come out. And so the methods have to get even more brutal in order to contain and control these animals. So that's where you're seeing things that, you know, it looks like a simple stick or something that the trainer is guiding the elephant with, but it's actually called the bull hook, and it has a rather sharp, wicked metal edge to it. And that can be used to strike the animal, to put them in line, make them do a certain movement, and those absolutely can draw blood. They can puncture the skin, even very thick elephant skin. And there have been plenty of photographs shown with, you know, you can see they're struck behind the ear or something, and you can see the blood, you know, trickling down. And of course, in the circus, you know, you're so far away from the actual animals that you're not able to see that level of detail, but that is really what's happening. They have, you know, used other things as well, like shock prods to get them to respond. So to keep that level of control during the show and during training and during all of the travel and transport that these animals are forced to do as well.
What about the methods that they use on the big cats, on the tigers?
Mm-hmm. It's similar. They're using things usually instead of a bull hook, they're usually using a whip. And in the actual circus, that seems, oh, it's so dramatic. Look, you know, he's controlling these tigers and he's cracking the whip. And it seems, you know, certainly during the show, they're not actually striking the animal, but they crack the whip to remind the tigers that they could be struck by this whip. So certainly not pleasant, I'm sure, for the animals.
And the heavy chains and the collars that are used on these animals.
Absolutely. In between shows and during travel, I'm sure, you know, anyone has seen the elephant's legs are chained so that they can't, you know, go too far. And so sometimes they're chained by one leg or two legs and they're standing, you know, all day. During all of this, you know, travel and hanging out between shows and that sort of thing, they're chained usually on concrete, and it's extremely rough on the animal's physique. I mean, this is an extremely large animal for the elephants in particular. you know, to be chained all day, standing on concrete. There are many cases where they've developed really terrible arthritis, and it certainly causes a physical breakdown. The tigers and the other animals are kept in small cages, transport cages, and that sort of thing. So while they're not chained necessarily, they are moved from cage to cage before and between shows.
I can't imagine that these poor animals are taken out and walked. So what does everything happen in that tiny cramped cage? I mean, are they...
Right. Well, during travel, they're definitely kept, you know, just for the convenience of travel, they're certainly kept in smaller transport trailers and that sort of thing. According to the Ringling website, if you look at it, they do stop the train in order to exercise the animals, but they have certainly gotten in trouble with the USDA for not exercising animals and not providing more... than just the basics, you know, food, water. But these animals have other needs as well, enrichment, socialization. Many of these animals would, in their natural habitat, would travel, you know, miles each day searching for food and would get a lot more exercise than certainly even, you know, the minimal amounts that they can be provided with during a life, you know, on display for the circus.
And I know that, I think the thing that hurts me the most is how unnatural this life is, how this goes against their natural urges, their urges to be in community, their urges to play, their urges not to be hurt, their urges to feel pleasure and comfort, to make their own schedule, so to speak, to go, you know, it just... I just find it so difficult in imagining this as anything that has to do with entertainment and fun. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Indie Media Live on WRIR, and we're having a conversation about the lives of the animals who are in captivity, enslaved for the circus. You mentioned a minute ago about Ringling Brothers and the United States Department of Agriculture. What can you tell us about those kinds of complaints that the United States Department of Agriculture, the USDA, has received over the years about this organization?
Absolutely. They have received many complaints from animal welfare groups. There are many groups that are involved in watching and protesting circuses, including Animal Legal Defense Fund, Mercy for Animals, the Fund for Animals, Born Free USA. It's an around the world effort. And those groups have made numerous complaints to the USDA to do investigations on Ringling and other circuses as well about inadequate care and exercise and the training methods for the animals. And Ringling certainly has been cited before and has had to pay fines for not having adequate veterinary records, not providing animals with sufficient space as they're traveling, and failure to provide them with exercise. They've even had some kind of horror stories, such as the air conditioning units were faulty in one of the enclosures, and so they had several tigers who were nearly baked to death, essentially, because they had no air conditioning while they were traveling through the Mojave Desert. So they have had some horror stories like that where they've gotten in trouble, essentially, with the USDA.
Their website I found so interesting because, you know, the website of a circus, the big opening picture on the home page is not of clowns and trapeze artists and that kind of thing, but it's the pictures of these poor animals. And there is a comment section on their website about these types of complaints and legal actions. Do you remember what it was saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were actually talking about how many communities have actually taken to banning circuses with animal acts. So there are quite a few communities that have done that. And so Ringling's own website does address that issue. They say that when communities ban animal acts, you know, they're a bit defensive about it. Actually, they talk about how... you know, that community is saying that they, their own experts are not qualified to handle the animals. But that's exactly what the communities are saying. Essentially, they don't want to see these animals in captivity like this. So another interesting point on their website was it was talking about how animals only perform an hour or two on performance days. But I mean, I'm looking at their schedule, and when they have three shows in a day, it seems like probably the animals are performing for a bit longer than that. So that seems problematic to me.
There was some testimony to the United States Department of Agriculture by a former employee of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, Glenn Ewell. Mm-hmm. Could you talk to us briefly about that? We have about a minute and a half left.
Sure. Several circus employees have, after years, you know, being employed and seeing this activity go on, have decided to become whistleblowers, essentially. And they have gone and done, you know, sworn affidavits to the USDA. And so this particular employee, you know, he was talking about another colleague who was taking a bull hook and striking the elephants, and struck her so many times that actually the bull hook shattered.
Oh, my goodness. We have run out of time, and I wonder if you could tell our listeners one more time about the educational events associated with Ringling being here.
Absolutely.
Next week.
So Richmond Friends of Animals will be present, holding an educational event, and we will be on the 7th Street side of the Coliseum. We'll be there Wednesday night for opening night all the way through Sunday. So if you'd like to come out and join us and, you know, hold a sign or pass out a leaflet and help to educate the public about the treatment of animals, that would be great.
And thank you, Amy. And I know you back me up when I remind our listeners that buying baby bunnies, baby chicks, baby ducklings for Easter is just participating in another way of suffering and exploitation of these animals. Buy a chocolate bunny, a book for with a bunny, a stuffed bunny, or come out to Ricky's Refuge this Saturday. Bunny Bonanza is going to be held from 1 to 5 out at Ricky's Refuge, R-I-K-K-I-S. And your website, richmondfriendsofanimals.org. And we wanted to remind everybody that there is an amazing elephant sanctuary for these circus animals in Tennessee, elephants.com, the elephant sanctuary in Hohenwald, Tennessee. Amy Bergman, you're my hero. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
So until next week, then, we thank all of you for listening, and we hope that you will be kind to yourselves, kind to each other, kind to the planet and to the animals. But don't be silent, because silence is the voice of complicity. We wish you peace.